Recording in progress.
Afternoon, Jay.
We have to lead by example. We agreed that we are starting at 2 o'clock. Now it's 2 o'clock. Before I can even say anything, I see that Honorable Mark Fison, your hand is up. Let me take your hand.
Thanks, Chair. Before we get into the presentation, I wanted just to make an input on the program for this weekend's ad hoc committee. Can you just advise me or guide me when I may do so, Chair? Thanks.
No problem. No, there's nothing wrong. That will be done at the end when we're doing our own in-house. Honorable Ulusoma, I'm not going to be taking hands. Let's focus on what is in front of us now. Thanks, Honorable McPherson and Honorable Lesoma. Allow me to take this opportunity to welcome all of you colleagues, the staff, the AG and her team. Of course, we know that we do have a program of what will be happening starting from tomorrow as we get to KZN, but that will be entertained after we are done with what is the purpose of today's meeting. Honorable members, today's meeting was planned to have Treasury and Minister of Finance and the Auditor General. But when it was brought to our attention that the DG, the DM, and the Minister are not around, we felt that it's not going to assist or set a wrong precedent if we're not going to have the relevant people coming to do presentation. But the Auditor General, it's in the platform with her team. So all of you are welcome, honorable members. We'll be having the deliberations, but when we're done today, then we can deal with the in-house and address what you want to raise, honorable McPherson. I can assure you we'll do justice to what you want to raise. Allow me now to allow the secretariat to assist us or any other member with apologies if we've got any. Apologies, Secretariat Nola.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon to yourself and honorable members. We've got an apology of Honorable Khai, who's stuck in a budget vote in the NCOP. Honorable Zungula is also in a party leaders meeting. He's unable to join this meeting. Honorable Sheikh.
Thank you. Thank you, honorable members. Those are the apologies.
Chair, I'm double bugging.
Okay, no, that's good. Then the Nola will correct that. I'm aware that we've got that challenge, but that's the situation. Parliament can be very hectic. Honorable Lesoma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I would like to apologize up front and good afternoon, honorable members and colleagues. For Honorable BP, I would like to register her apology as well. In actually, the NCOP members, thank you very much, some of them.
Thank you. Those are the apologies we have, honorable members. And of course, we've already indicated the situation of the Department of Finance, but be that as it may, allow me, honorable members, to invite AG, Ms. Maluleke, to present what will assist us as we'll be heading to KZN to have a better sense who is the Auditor General in our Republic of South Africa, as we have invited her. And let me also indicate that I do have my co-chair, Honorable Frolic, the one that will be dealing with the part of the deliberations after the presentation by the AG. And of course, will allow whatever that might be raised after that, that will assist us because we want to make sure that once we get to KZN, we want to be focused, effective and efficient and focus on what is planned. And we've got an agreed program. But of course, it doesn't take away that if there are some issues that are going to assist all of us. But honorable members, Let me now invite AG, Ms. Meluleke, to assist us. AG.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'd like to greet you and the Honorable Froelich as the joint chairpersons of the ad hoc committee. I'd also like to greet all the members of the ad hoc committee, Chair, and all of the ladies and gentlemen that have joined this particular meeting. Thank you for the opportunity to engage on the Audit Office's work on government's response to the flood-related disaster in KZN and the Eastern Cape. And I'll state out why I specify those two provinces a bit later on. I hope to use this particular opportunity to provide clarity on the work that we are doing in the wake of this disaster. As you indicated earlier on, following the floods in KZN and the Eastern Cape, government declared the state of national disaster. Government's response has been extended to cover the Northwest and the Northern Cape. We have focused our work, however, on the Eastern Cape and the KZN regions. And again, I'll delve into a little bit of the detail on the basis for that decision. The response that government has set out is in those three phases that the president announced in April of 2022, covering the immediate humanitarian relief, followed by the stabilization and recovery effort, and finally the reconstruction and rehabilitation effort. Similar to what was done in the context of the COVID-19 response, the president asked the National Audit Office to form part of an oversight mechanism, one that would ensure that the allocated resources are protected and that those resources are used for the intended purpose. Our response, Honorable Chairs and Honorable Members, has once again been to design a series of real-time audits. And I want to indicate to yourselves that we have already commenced our work in this regard. Today, I will share some insight on our approach to undertaking this immense task. As the Supreme Audit Institution of South Africa, the AGSA provides independent assurance on whether public funds have been appropriately accounted for. In line with our mandate, we audit and report on three areas: the credibility of financial statements, the usefulness and reliability of performance information, and we also look at areas of compliance with key laws and legislation relating to financial and performance management. As part of our work, we assess and comment on the state of internal controls across all of the auditees that we engage with. We see our role as being to provide independent, timely, and credible insight on how funds have been managed. We aim to report and share our work in a way that enhances transparency, accountability, and good governance. Now, we don't run government operations. We exist to provide independent assurance on how those operations are being managed. In line with our independent mandate, we do not place or we do not replace the role of the accounting officer or the accounting authority or even the role of the executive. We also don't aim to disrupt or stand in the way of the operations of government. Ours is to support the system through timely, relevant, credible, independent insight on whether the initiatives are being implemented in a manner that's consistent with their design, whether benefits are reaching the intended beneficiaries, and whether there is unnecessary duplication, fragmentation, or inefficiency in the implementation of government programs. A key aspiration of our work is for us to be responsive to the demands of the current environment, to shape our audit work so that our relevance continues to grow whilst still operating within our independent mandate. Now, Honorable Chairpersons and Honorable Members, these are extraordinary times, and they demand of all of us to be agile and responsive to safeguard public funds. And we know, as an audit office, we cannot do it alone. We see ourselves as being part of an accountability ecosystem. There are a number of different players in this ecosystem, but I want to start by highlighting that the key responsibilities for accountability start with those that run government, those that have been elected and appointed to act as stewards of the public funds. starting with the accounting offices, whom, together with their staff, officials, senior managers, and supported by their internal auditors and audit committees, they are trusted with the responsibility of safeguarding resources, of deploying resources so that they fulfill the intended purpose, and of running government programs in a way that's efficient and cost-effective. The executive, being the mayors, the MECs, the ministers, theirs is to monitor, to support, and to supervise. And charged also with support and monitoring responsibilities would be the coordinating departments, the offices of the premiers in the provinces, the provincial COCTA, the provincial treasury. And if you look at the national sphere, national COCTA, national treasury, DPME, and the presidency. Charged with oversight responsibilities would be the councils, the legislatures, and the national parliament. We haven't put it on the slide here, but we also count within the accountability ecosystem public bodies, those that are mandated to deal with investigations and to enforce the law. Central to all of this, and you'll see it sitting in the center of our slide, is an active citizenry, one that is fully engaged and vested in the success of government, either directly or through organizations and formations such as civil society organizations. Honorable chairpersons and honorable members, the establishment of this ad hoc joint committee is a clear indication that Parliament aims to enhance its own oversight activities so that they may be timely and effective. As we have done before at the AGSA, we stand ready to work with you in giving effect to this real-time effective oversight. I think it's important that we recognize that we are all in this together. It's critical that we play our roles as distinct as they are, but play them effectively and in a way that's complementary, with all of us in this ecosystem focusing on ensuring that we build public trust by delivering the benefits that should accrue to citizens. In the context of this disaster, there has been a concern by many across society that public funds should be protected and that the response initiatives are not only well designed to respond to the needs, but are implemented appropriately. We shaped a series of real-time audits that respond to key risks relating to procurement and contract management. And in this regard, we'll look not only at compliance with laws and regulations, but we will extend our audit work so that we consider matters relating to value for money. We'll consider whether goods and services have been delivered at the right place, at the right time, and at the right quality. And we will also look at whether or not benefits reach the intended beneficiaries. A real-time audit is still an audit. It's an early audit, one that aims to prevent and detect weaknesses in controls and report on findings in a short space of time. And we do this so that the key parts of the accountability ecosystem are enabled to do their work. Accounting officers can take corrective action swiftly so that they protect resources against further fraud or wastage, and they can correct their implementation programs so that these programs are rolled out as designed, so that the benefits reach the intended beneficiaries on time. The executive can use our timely insights to use this information and assess how programs are being implemented so that they can monitor effectively and act and support where required. Oversight can play their role in a short space of time. Public bodies can step in quickly so as to implement consequences and safeguard resources by giving effect to their own mandates for investigations and law enforcement. As we did for the COVID-19 audits, we will audit and report our findings in a short space of time. We'll provide timely reports to accounting officers and accounting authorities, that's the boards of public entities. We'll give reports on a timely basis to the relevant executive and also share our reports with the executive with coordinating responsibilities. Councils, provincial legislatures, and parliament will benefit from timely reports from our office, and we will also share reports with other relevant organs of state as provided for in the Public Audit Act. the impact of the real-time audit will be felt only if all parts of the oversight mechanism do their part. It'll be effective when all players in the accountability ecosystem take swift, consistent, and effective steps to execute their duties. A key lesson that we've learned from the COVID-19 real-time audit is that success is had when there is responsiveness and action on the part of the accounting officer and the accounting authority, when there is effective support and monitoring from the executive, and when there is swift and effective oversight that insists on timely corrective action. Success can be had when there is coordination and collaboration across the various players. One of the key lessons in this regard was the way we could work with the different players within the Fusion Center. What we also learned from the COVID-19 real-time audit is the benefit of having an active citizenry, one that plays a constructive role in highlighting problems and advocating for swift action when there are leakages from the system. Honorable chairpersons and honorable members, the same lessons have also been drawn from other countries that have had to respond to disasters or to mega projects that were complex and that ran across multiple government agencies. For example, China, who in preparation for the Beijing Olympics set up an oversight mechanism which involved different role players, including the National Audit Office. What they tell us is that success is had when all of the different players within the accountability ecosystem play their role effectively. A little bit about the audit process. Key parts of the real-time audit process are prevention, detection, and reporting. On prevention, what we've done is we've leveraged off the existing reach and relationships that we have with accounting officers and accounting authorities. And what that has allowed us to do is to reach them quickly and to point out to them the risks in the environment, to highlight the importance of maintaining controls and of maintaining proper records. We've also reminded accounting officers of the value of using their internal auditors to good effect. We've issued letters to a number of accounting officers in the different entities of state that we are auditing for this real-time audit. And we've highlighted the preventative controls, especially in the area of procurement and of infrastructure spend. We've been most encouraged that the KZN Provincial Treasury has also reiterated the same message as us. And interestingly, the KZN Provincial Treasury has undertaken to conduct pre-award assessment of procurement processes. So they will be verifying compliance with procurement regulations before awards are made, especially in relation to procurement of goods and services and of infrastructure related programs, those that have a value above R1 million. What we will do as the AGSA is to test the controls and to highlight risks in the same way as we've done. We'll simply do it much quicker than what is the norm. Honorable chairpersons, it's important for me just to reiterate this point, that the AGSA does not, should not, and cannot replace the role of accounting officers. We therefore can never be an obstacle to aid reaching affected citizens. There's no way that the Auditor General can stand in the way of a government program being rolled out. We can advise, we can assess, we can give findings, we can give recommendations. However, the accounting officers remain firmly in charge because it is them that are the appointed stewards over public funds and over public institutions. In terms of the areas we will be looking at, we will look at different entities across three spheres of government: national, provincial, and local government. And we'll look specifically at the KZN and the Eastern Cape provinces. The Northern Cape and Northwest provinces have not been scoped into the real-time audit. when there is expenditure through the provincial departments or even the municipalities in those two provinces, we will catch that section of the audit at the time of doing the regularity annual audit. They will not be subjected to a real-time audit. We will focus our attention on KZN and the Eastern Cape, there being the bulk of the activities. The process of reprioritizing budgets is still underway at the different institutions that must respond to the disaster. However, we have identified a number of these institutions and are already working with those accounting officers in terms of keeping track of the reprioritization of budgets, but also of the expenditure that is already underway. And honorable chairpersons and honorable members, the benefit of AGSA having an existing presence in each public institution is felt here when we're able to respond quickly and to reach as extensively as what we have done. When we report, we will provide insight on what has been allocated or reprioritized, what is being spent, and how that spending is happening. We will look at the effectiveness of the programs or interventions, including quality of service, coordination across government entities, integration of databases. We'll look at efficiency in terms of how that spending is being done. We'll also look at the cost effectiveness, the value for money aspects, as I indicated earlier on. The key programs that we'll focus on will be within the human settlement section, the temporary residential units. We'll also look at new houses being built. We'll look at the infrastructure repair and rebuild effort at schools, hospitals, as well as on water and sanitation infrastructure. We'll also look at programs around the railways and on roads. We'll focus our attention on the water tankering services, looking at procurement of water tanks, the distribution thereof, and the installation thereof. We'll also consider the social relief initiatives, looking at food parcels and funeral expenses in terms of how those programs are being managed. This is not an exhaustive list, honorable chairpersons and honorable members. Some of these will be informed by our interactions with auditees, which interactions are already underway. So I'm going on to my very last slide, which is really to say that we will be looking to all of the different players in the ecosystem to continue to work with us to ensure that there is effective coordination and collaboration across all of us in the ecosystem. We will, as an audit office, leverage of what we've seen before and what we've learned. And we will report on a timely basis with independent, credible, timely, relevant insights that our audiences can act on. Honorable chairpersons, even in the midst of a crisis, transparency and accountability must not be ignored. Accounting officers must be responsible and responsive, setting the right ethical tone, putting in place the preventative controls, and responding to the audit outcomes, whether they come from internal audit or from external audit, and acting in a way that is decisive and swift so that we can prevent further leakage and ensure that the programs are being implemented in the manner that they've been designed. It's going to be very important that the executive and the coordinating departments monitor and support the activities of the accounting officers so that these accounting officers can deal with the complexity and the urgency of the moment to execute on their duties in a manner that's consistent with the provisions of Section 195 of the Constitution, being responsive, being efficient, being effective, and yet still being accountable and transparent. It's going to be important that oversight oversees the accounting officers so that they are indeed responsible and responsive. It's going to be critical that all players execute on their responsibilities and be accountable for their part. We believe, honorable chairpersons, that this is how all of us in the accountability ecosystem will collectively ensure that the citizens that have been so affected by these devastating floods that they get the relief they need and are appropriately enabled to rebuild their lives in the shortest possible time. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairpersons.
Thank you, AG. Indeed, AG, we agree with you entirely as an ad hoc committee that in the midst of a crisis, we can't compromise when it comes to accountability and transparency, abusing this crisis. That is why we felt that to have you coming in, it will assist us when we get to KZN as we're starting our journey with the mammoth task facing us as this ad hoc committee. With that, allow me, colleagues, to invite my colleagues, who is the co-chair, Honorable Frolic, to deal with the part of the deliberations. Honorable Frolic, my brother.
Oh, good afternoon, my co-chairperson and brother, and happy Africa Day to everyone on the platform. Also, good afternoon to the Auditor General. It's good to see you again, and hopefully soon we'll be able to meet in a physical space again. And thank you for the presentation. The presentation is actually very clear on the role of the Auditor General when it comes to these real-time audits that is taking place and the responsibilities of accounting officers in the different government departments. Doesn't mean that the Auditor General is now taking over their responsibilities. No, I think that's a very important point to make. And that the accounting officers in the different departments is responsible to account and also to provide credible information so that the Auditor General can be familiarized with it. It's too big, the scope of government for the Auditor General to now become the accounting officer. So thank you for the point that you've made, Auditor General. Honorable members, I see the hand of the Honorable Broutesters.
Thank you, Honorable Co-Chair. Just a couple of questions to the AG, please, more technical in nature. AG, thank you very much for your report and your presentation. It is a great assurance to me, having been an ex-SCOPA man for 5 years, to have you on board and involved with us. I'd just like to go through a couple of areas. First of all, AG, were there any relaxations issued by Treasury? Treasury notes that related to relaxations, as we saw during the pandemic period, and I think you will agree, led to a lot of trouble. Are there any relaxations like that in play? Then you refer a lot to quick time periods, quick turnarounds. Can you give us any idea of time periods? Are we talking about monthly, bi-monthly, quarterly? Could you just let us know when reports could come from the AG? Then the AG, as the AG, you have the authority to refer matters for prosecution and or recovery. In relation to that authority that you've had now for a couple of years, have you briefed the relevant government bodies, such as the Hawks, to be ready for such referrals from yourselves? So that if, and we're hopeful that nothing like that happens, that nobody has the sinister heart to steal money during the time of a crisis, but if somebody does or is involved in a regular activity, that your referrals will not take a long time, that the Hawks are fully briefed and relevant bodies are fully briefed to act quickly. And then the second to last questions are, well, the last question is, how often will you report to this committee, AG? Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I now recognize the Honourable Schlengwa, followed by the Honourable Dutoué. Honourable Schlengwa.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson or Co-Chairpersons, and good afternoon to the AG and colleagues. I think I must first commend the AG for what is a very comprehensive presentation. And hindsight, of course, is the best sight. And so it borrows a lot of experience, particularly from COVID, PPE corruption and the auditing that took place there in international practice. So I think that the model that the AG presents, Chair, and the framework that covers all the bases and should set us in good stead in the kind of oversight work that we want to do. Just two things, AG. How many staff has been made available for this period and this work, and whether, of course, following them, that will that in any way hinder the work of the AG in the ordinary course of the work that you do, particularly with the regulatory auditing that must happen. You are currently, auditing national and and provincial departments. Municipalities will be closing off their books as well. That's the first part. And the second part is the estimated costs involved in all of this. And how much it will be. I raised the point in that often it costs money to prevent corruption, it costs money to recover money, it costs money to prosecute, investigate, and so on. So I think it's important for us to, understand the magnitude of what it means to put in place the preventative action steps that we want to do and the proactive steps that we are doing. But yeah, I think let us really commend the AG for what is a very solid outlook in so far as how this work will be done. Thanks a lot, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Shlengwa. I now recognize the Honorable Dutwe, followed by the Honorable Dodovu.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Honorable Chair, I appreciate the AG's presentation. I'm quoting one of the lines early in the presentation where it says that the real-time audit is an early audit aimed at preventing and detecting weaknesses in controls and reporting their findings. My concern, Chair, is, and maybe the AG can assist, but with the AG fulfilling this role, it's like walking with a broom and then mopping up and telling what is or saying what is wrong. But we need real-time eyes when tenders are being given to companies that perform work. So according to the AG, we will be the real-time watchdog to ensure that we do not get tender corruption in this whole process. Who will be that person that see to it that the contractors are vetted and that the money is actually spent correctly in real time? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. You were referring to the scope of the work of the AG. And I have the Honourable Dodovu.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson. Let me firstly apologize because I'm in the Free State. The network is very terrible and I might inconvenience my submission in this regard. Having said that, Honorable Chair, let me welcome the presentation. I think it was concise, to the point, and it clearly demonstrates the unflinching commitment on the part of the AG to ensure that he helps the whole issue of financial management of these expenditures that are going to be incurred in respect of this particular project. Now, my question is specific. And the question is, has the Auditor General set up a team, or is she going to set up a team that specifically deals with material irregularities? If they arise, will there be a specific specialized way in which to attend to all of this, identify the misuse of funds, if possible, identify the failure to perform and exercise the fiduciary responsibilities from those who are involved and reporting this to the law enforcement agencies? Is there a specialized team that the Auditor General is setting up to ensure that all these related processes are expedited or not? That's my question, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Dodovu. In the absence of any other hand, I will now hand over to the Auditor General.
Thank you very much, Honorable Frolic, and the honorable members for their inputs and questions. Let me start by acknowledging the encouragement and the gratitude that's been expressed by the honorable members. I trust that you have become accustomed to an audit office that tries hard to be responsive to supporting the governance arrangements within the state. Obviously, we can't do everything ourselves, and obviously these things, when we have to respond to them in the moment, mean that we also have to reprioritize. And I guess I'm now getting into the question that Honorable Hlengwa raised and also the ones raised by Honorable Dudu. We have a staff complement of 3,600 people operating in different parts of the country. The KZN province has a team that's there all the time, charged with the responsibility of auditing provincial and local government for that province. Similarly, in the Eastern Cape, it is these same people who would be doing the work. We will complement the teams by incorporating other experts, such as those that are specialists in the area of information systems management, those that are experts in forensics and fraud detection activities, as well as other experts that understand the infrastructure space much better than a typical financial auditor, the engineers, the quantity surveyors, and the like. So we will put those teams that are sitting there, the specialists that are sitting in Pretoria, together with the teams that are already in the two provinces to do this work. It will mean reprioritizing, and it will mean that there may be pressure in the system in terms of churning out the normal annual PFMA audits for the year ended March 2022. I think you know by now we'll do our very best to catch up and get that work done and limit the negative impact on the accountability processes. However, I do think we must anticipate that there will be a delay in some of the instances. In terms of how we're funding the work, we will proceed on the basis of Section 23 of the Public Audit Act, which is to charge the particular auditees that are affected. We will do our very best, as we've done consistently, to minimize the costs associated with this initiative, to optimize the resources we have available so that we do not end up as being too significant a burden. However, we must accept that there is a cost, and I appreciate your comments, Honorable Hlengwa, that we must all reckon with the notion that these things must be paid for. I would like to ask the honorable members to support the audit office in making sure that these initiatives are actually paid for. And that way we can continue to maintain the capability of the National Audit Office. The costs themselves, we are busy trying to finalize the estimation thereof. I'm not in a position now to indicate to you exactly what it will cost. As you can imagine, this is a moving target in terms of making sure we cover everything that needs to be covered, so we can give the type of assurance that would be of value to yourselves. Honorable Dudu, you ask if there are real-time eyes. In my input, you would have noticed that I spoke quite a bit about the role of the coordinating departments in the provinces. And in this regard, I highlighted the role of the Premier's office, the role of the Provincial Treasury, and the role of the Provincial COPTA. In KZN, what we found most inspiring is that the Provincial Treasury, acting on the basis of a provincial cabinet resolution, decided to conduct pre-assessment or pre-award assessment on procurement exercises that are at the value of R1 million and above. That is an important initiative by the Provincial Treasury, because that's what's going to safeguard the system. When that Provincial Treasury is able to look at these procurement processes early enough before awards are made. An audit by an independent auditor, such as what you have in the office of the AG, that audit can only happen when there's been a transaction. We can't preempt a transaction. What works well is if the accounting officer is responsible, if the internal audit function is effective, if the provincial treasury steps in to do their part of the monitoring controls, and then you have the AG issuing findings. And then, of course, when those findings come, it's really about responding to those quickly, because we must accept that in the midst of an emergency, some things might not go as perfectly as all that. What we want to create are strong controls that prevent problems, so that we can have a hope of detecting the small number of problems and act on those so that we can stem whatever problems might be rearing their head. So I hope my response is clear that we've got to rely on the provincial government and their role to support the process of safeguarding resources. And of course, there are also responsibilities that would sit at the national level as well. In terms of the initial questions that were raised by the honorable member, I think the one I have not responded to is about the turnaround time for when we would report. At this stage, honorable chairpersons and honorable members, we aim to have a report to you around August of this year. It remains our hope that we'll be able to get there. It's a moving space, and I'm sure you'll see it when you get to visit physically. I'm hoping that by that time we'll have something useful to share with you and something that you can actually use to good effect in implementing your oversight responsibilities. In terms of how often we'll give you that report, if I may just have the opportunity to talk about it again when we get to August. On the National Treasury, in terms of whether or not they have relaxed their regulations on procurement and on other matters, I think the best place to respond to that, the information we do have is that they've issued guidance and practice notes to the accounting officers that should make it more effective for the accounting officers to be responsive and act quickly in the context of this emergency. All of us in the ecosystem must be dedicated to supporting accounting officers to be responsible and responsive so that we can react and give the type of support that must reach citizens quickly, but to do so in a responsible way, in a defendable way, one that doesn't compromise on transparency or on accountability. Thank you very much, Honorable Frolic.
Thank you, AG. I now recognize the Honorable Hussein.
Chair, thank you so much. My apologies for raising my hand a bit late. I just wanted to bring two matters to the attention of the AG. Through you, Chair. AG, you'll recall when we had this presentation at SCOAG, I asked for you to look closely into the Section 36 awards in the Tigrinya municipality. Since then, I've received more information and suspicious activities around the provision of water tankers and water distribution by private contractors in the northern parts of the Durban area, as well as electrical contractors, subcontractors that are being used by the municipality to do the emergency reconnection around the electricity outages, which there have been quite a lot, not only around this recent floods, but the previous one as well. So I'm just making an appeal to you to get your team to look closer at those Section 36 awards around electricity contractors and private water tankers who have been contracted to the municipality. There's lots of information going around in the community about ghost tankers that now don't exist, where officials are telling communities, we send 17 tankers, but some of them have only seen three or four on that day. So if you don't mind, if you make some notes of that and just ask your team to look closer into that. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Hussein. I see the hand of the Honorable Groenewald, followed by the Honorable Direko. And then I see the hand again of the Honorable Broutseth. The Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've listened closely what the AG said in terms of the real-time audit. But I want to ask the AG. AG, the main thing I think that we must assure that the people of South Africa, that the money is being spent well and spent wise. Is there going to be firstly quality audits after, can I say, a tender has been awarded? Firstly, and secondly, you said that we must rely on the departments for the implementation of the monies being spent. And the problem we had, and that's why I want to ask, especially in terms of assuring the public that the money will be spent wisely, is that the KwaZulu-Natal Finance Department, and you can read on the internet, Mail and Guardian, corruption accused, KwaZulu-Natal Treasury, a hub of corruption and shady deals and so forth. Is there another way that you're going to also look at the department to make sure that the money is being spent well and correctly? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The Honourable Direko.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Let me welcome the presentation by the AG. Chair, when we look at our policies and control measures, they are so tight. However, there are people who like to take opportunity of abusing the system. And they know that even if they can do something that is wrong now, it's going to take time for them to be hold accountable, because the time when we start to audit and do these things, they will have been receiving an opportunity, they would have had an opportunity to change some of the things that they could have done. So I want to check with the AG, if is it possible that they can have a system where all the procurement could be could generate a report of the monthly procurement, so that they can be able to detect anything that could happen earlier, instead of waiting for the end of financial year and thereafter audit this thing. So that's my submission, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Direko. The Honourable Brouterseth.
Thank you, Chair. It was just to go back to the AG. There was one question that I asked that was not answered, unfortunately. AG, the authority that you have to refer, are the prosecutions or recoveries? The question was, have you had any engagements so far with government bodies such as the Hawks, such as the NPA, so that they are ready and waiting for any possible referrals from yourself? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I now request the Auditor General, Ms. Maluleke, to respond.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairpersons. I'm so sorry, I forgot the question about the public bodies. Let me deal with that first. The powers to refer indeed do allow us to refer matters to the Hawks, to the SIU, to the NPA, to the FIC, and a number of other public bodies, and a number of them you will have seen are part of the Fusion Center. When we did the COVID-19 audits, what worked well was for us to share our insights, our information, our findings, our analysis on databases with those bodies, and give them the opportunity to then act on them. And what you would have seen out of the work that we did then was that the people who tried to defraud SASSA were held accountable pretty quickly, and they were in the dock within months of us doing this work. We did this work in about April, May, and reported on it in June. By the time we all went away for the year-end holidays, there were people in the dock in relation to SASSA and in relation to the UIF TIR scheme. What that tells us is that we can continue to find ways of deepening our relationships with these public bodies and refer matters as the law allows us to do. And we will certainly do this as part of this audit work now. We will implement those powers and give effect to the standing arrangements that we have with those public bodies. We are getting to a point where our collaboration is working even better than it did in the initial phase. And that's the benefit of having learned some lessons on both sides of the table. So I hope that that deals with your question as well as that of Honorable Dodogu. In terms of the other questions, Honorable Hussein, I've heard you on the Section 36, and certainly the team that is working on that particular auditee in KZN will look into it. The water tankering services is one of the areas that we've scoped in for our audit in particular terms. Here we will look not only at compliance, but also on matters around value for money in terms of the costs associated with the tankering, with the tanks, the costs associated with the installation and the quality of that work, and the costs associated with the service of keeping those tanks filled. It's a piece of work that we've done before, so I think we'll be able to do it pretty quickly and deliver quick insight on what's going wrong. What that will do is give findings to the accounting officer, give findings to the executive authority, and give findings even to yourselves as Parliament. And I would think that this ad hoc committee would be one of the places we would come to in terms of sharing those findings and insights with you. What I would encourage you to do is insist on quick corrective action by those accounting officers. You know, what we learn is that the way to protect a system from abuse is by acting on the findings and recommendations from your auditors, and to do so decisively and to do so quickly. It's not to say that in every environment, especially when you have an emergency, that everything will be 100% at all of the time. But certainly when there has been an error or an issue identified, that accounting officer must be responsive and deal with the matter quickly enough so that they stem any leakage that might be arising. In terms of the KZN Provincial Treasury, and Honorable Groenewald, I'm coming to your input. You know, the reality is that Treasury is charged with particular responsibilities in that province in law. What we've all got to insist upon is that they be supported in executing on that responsibility, and that they'll also be held accountable for an effective delivery on their mandate. This pre-award assessment that they are going to conduct is one that is well poised to help us stem any instance of leakage. What we've all got to work towards is to ensure that they are effective in fulfilling that mandate. And whatever it is that stands in the way of the Provincial Treasury fulfilling that mandate, we've got to work together to ensure that it is taken out of their way. I hope I've answered everything else this time around. There was the one part about the implementation of our work after money has been spent. The best thing we can all push for is for these accounting officers to act responsibly and to be responsive in this moment, to be dedicated to ensuring that public funds are deployed quickly, yes, but efficiently, effectively, and operating within the bounds of the law. In an emergency, they do have to act quickly. They will have to make decisions quickly, but they must make sure that those decisions are steeped within their responsibilities as set out in Section 38 of the Public Finance Management Act. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairpersons and Honorable Members.
Thank you, Auditor General. Are there any further points of clarity or questions from the Honorable Members? If not, then I would like to express our gratitude to the Auditor General for always being available when we require the office to participate in and give input to portfolio and committee meetings. We really want to once again state that the relationship between Parliament, that is the National Assembly, and the NCOP with the Auditor General is one that is based on years of mutual respect and mutual cooperation. And AG, we will call on your office once the opportunity arises to do so. However, if there are anything in between that you would like to bring to our attention, you know where to get hold of us. Once again, thank you very much for your participation and presence. Thank you. Honorable members, we now are going to deal with a few in-house matters. There was a matter that the Honorable McPherson wanted to raise right at the beginning of the meeting. The Honorable McPherson, can you raise the matter now? Is the Honourable McPherson on the platform? No, I don't see him on the platform. The Honourable Brouterseth, are you raising it on behalf of the member?
Yes, Chairperson. The Honourable McPherson wanted to raise the issue of an in-person engagement with the KZN Cabinet and the Etegwini Exco. During the course of our oversight upcoming up this weekend in KZN. The position that we have taken is that this is absolutely, I don't want to say non-negotiable, but it is absolutely critical and vital. Thank you, Chairperson. It's absolutely critical that we meet with these two bodies. It's absolutely critical that we are able to engage with them face to face and find out exactly what they've done and what their plans are going forward. And we find it very concerning that they're not that such an engagement does not form part of the program at this point. So we'd like to really put that very strongly on the table. Mr. Hussein, Honourable Hussein might want to also make a comment in this regard, but we feel it's absolutely vital, and also not only from our position, but we think it would be vital to the work of the committee to be able to engage with the those two relevant executive authorities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The Honourable Hussein.
Yeah, Chair, just to make this point, and I did have a conversation as well with Honourable McPherson, and I do understand that the program, when I've looked at it, it's really quite tight. So I appreciate that difficulty that you have, especially in light of a number of requests from members as well to include other oversight areas. So I do have the appreciation for that. But where I think that Honourable McPherson does have a point, and that's also based on my own personal experience, is that the executive, at least a representative of the executive, I do think should be available to the portfolio committee to be able to explain some of their activities on behalf of the municipality as well as the provincial cabinet, because they have had direct involvement and will continue to have a direct involvement over the disaster relief measures, whether it is through expenditure or ordinary disaster relief that's being provided to the various municipalities and communities in the province. So if that's at all possible to try and include either the mayor, deputy mayor, or senior politicians at the provincial legislature, I think it will also give us an opportunity in terms of our job in respect of oversight and accountability that we will be able to exercise that. So if that can be accommodated, I think, Chair, it will be quite helpful for us in the work that we're doing. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Honourable Hussein. The Honourable Shlengwa, followed by the Honourable Lesoma.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, mine is just a quick one on this point, to ask if the research team can look at maybe interacting between now and our oversight, whether any oversight mechanisms similar to ours have been set up in the various jurisdictions we will be meeting, particularly KZN and the Eastern Cape. Because whilst it's a good idea to interact with the provincial executive, I think we must be able to impress on the legislatures to whether identify within existing legislature committees or to set up a committee, because we are not going to be full-time based in those spaces. So maybe that is something that can be looked at in between now and our visit, that the interaction also extends to the legislature, who is responsible really also, just like we are, insofar as the oversight is concerned in the jurisdictions. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Lesoma.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I would like to just to engage on the issues that have been raised by Honourable McPherson, to say that probably if we can be taken walk through the program, and I'm sure one way or the other, all of us will be accommodated, because as I'm looking at the program before me, it does say that we are going to be meeting the principals of the province and also the principal of various municipalities that we are going to be over visiting. So I'm saying let's do that, because we might also think that we are differing, whereas we are on the same page, Chair. Thank you very much.
The Honourable Nyambi.
Chair, thank you, my co-chair. When McPherson was raising, Honourable McPherson was raising this issue, I thought it's something that is totally urgent and going to assist and enrich our program. But what we are discussing now, in as far as the program is concerned, there's an item in the evening tomorrow that will be dealing with our own in-house and even the very same issue that we're discussing. Already, Honorable Lesoma is correct. It's covered. We'll be meeting the leadership of the province. And the only maybe different issue is the one that is raised by Honorable Hlengwa, that we can seriously consider whether we are going to rely on committees that will be there or assist them in a different way, as we're still stuck with the task at hand now. But otherwise, I want to bring to the attention of the honorable members that we're fine in terms of our plan, and everything is going to be catered when we get the details of what will be happening the entire weekend, Monday, in KZN. I wanted just to alert members so that we don't discuss what is not out of line with what has been planned by us, Honorable Co-Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Nyambi. Honorable members, let me assure you that we are actively working on the program. What you have in front of you is a draft program, and we've tried to accommodate all the different inputs that has been made by the different members who are members of the ad hoc committee. And my co-chairperson and I are very clear that the political principles must be secured in the different areas. However, we also will ensure that we do not spend an entire day sitting in meetings while we're supposed to do oversight work. We do expect a reply from the Premier of KZN very soon, as well as amongst other Itekweni and a few other municipalities. So that is being taken care of. There's no need, Honorable Broutesert, for concern. It is a matter that's being attended to, and by tomorrow evening, in the briefing that will take place, the final program will be presented there. We are very, very aware that all these different role players also have their tasks to perform, as well as us. So we will we'll accommodate one another to make the program effective. The Honorable Hlengwa is mentioning a very, very important point. You see, somehow there is this impression that oversight is just the domain of the National Assembly and the National Council of Provinces, while we do have in the different provinces. We do have legislatures with members of the provincial legislatures, some of them high numbers. And also we do have the different councillors with members of the mayoral committees in these different areas that are there. Oversight is a joint responsibility. And Honorable Hlengwa and the committee, you can be assured that this is a matter that we will definitely take up, look into, so that if it is not there yet, that it must be started as soon as possible in the spirit of working together and non-interference in the programs of those different legislatures. The Honorable Hussein have also mentioned in his input earlier to the Auditor General about specific instances, and we are looking at different mechanisms as how we can channel the experiences of members of parliament who are from these areas in KwaZulu-Natal, as well as the northern parts of the Eastern Cape and also Northwest, into a central system where we can then submit it to the relevant offices, whether it's the ministers responsible and also the Auditor General, if there are instances of possible malfeasance that is occurring, so that we guide the process and all of us benefit from the responses that will be made. We, in terms of the program, I can also assure you that it won't be a hit and run approach. You see, we must stop this thing of trying to spec a program and just show our face for a photo opportunity and then we disappear. I told the secretariat they must factor in the traveling time between the different sites that we are going to visit, so that there can also be meaningful engagement to our with our people and the officials who are in those areas. In this respect, we will also share with you tomorrow evening that it's highly likely that we will split the delegation, which encompass at least 20 members of parliament with support staff, into two groups, so that can be more meaningful engagement, and then we can cover more areas that will be visited. However, we will ensure that when key briefings do take place, that these briefings is not long-winded briefings. Remember, we have a mandate until the end of November, not long-winded briefings and discussions, that it will be very, very pointed so that we can be enriched by those type of inputs. And we will also ensure that we cover most of the areas that members have recommended for us to do. So please be assured that all these matters are receiving attention, and by tomorrow evening, we will be able to update one another on the progress that has been made. May I just hear from the Secretariat, Nola, is there anything in terms of the logistics that you want to share with members? Have all members now been informed of their flights to and from KwaZulu-Natal? And what other logistical issues are there that you want to share with us, please? Over to you, Nola.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to request that I don't put on my video because of bandwidth issues. First and foremost, with regards to logistics, I was informed by the logistics team that SMSs have already been sent through to members, that flights have been secured to KZN and back. In terms of accommodation, the delegation will stay at the Fire and Ice in Umhlanga. That's the hotel that we'll be using for the duration of the time. So we'll travel to the areas and back to the same hotel. Thirdly, Chairperson, the Protection Services Unit has already given us their delegation of colleagues that will be assisting the committee in terms of protection. They've also confirmed that they've spoken to the SAPS that side and the Metro. So we are all secured going to KZN. We've split ourselves as the support to the committee into two. The other group will be traveling with members in the evening. Meanwhile, myself and the other crew would have been in KZN as early as possible to ensure that everything is going well that side, and to also have some sort of engagement with the colleagues from the municipalities. I'll pause at there, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Nola. Are there any points of clarity from the members or any matters that you think require our further attention? If not, it gives me then pleasure to thank you for being part of this meeting and the discussions. We look forward to meet in KwaZulu-Natal tomorrow evening, and the meeting is thus adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Recording stopped.